We've got Tama Brooks-Klosik, and she's going to talk to us about life settlements. Tamara's practice is a tax practice focused on both domestic and international aspects of estate planning and family and wealth transfer and tax-exempt organizations. She graduated from Harvard Law School in 1999, and she began her legal career at Vinson & Elkins in probate, estates, and trust law group of that tax section. After 10 years there, she opened her own law firm, and I give you Tamara.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you to Wes for helping me bring this content to your organization. And I just want to say I'm truly, truly honored to accept the award for best presentation, because that's who they put on last. So just so you know, you stayed, and now you're getting all the really, really good nuggets. This is a really important topic, and when Wes called me about contributing to your conference, I said, thank you. The topic you're asking about is a great topic, but this is one that I'm talking about all over the country, and including over the last year to the Florida Tax Institute. I've spoken at the USC Tax Institute. I'm speaking at NAPAC Advanced Strategies, because this is something that people don't know a lot about. So gonna keep everybody awake. Raise your hand if you have ever assisted a client with a life settlement. One person in the back. And thank you for that. So I'm going to tell you my life settlement story and why I'm here giving this talk today, and then I'm going to go into the content of the presentation. So like you guys, you just heard, I'm an estate planning attorney, and I had a new client call me in June of 2017, and he was the beneficiary of an insurance trust, and this kind of dovetails with Paul's presentation. What happened here was he was a beneficiary of not just an insurance trust, but a bypass trust and a marital trust that his grandfather had never funded. And his grandmother, by this point in time, had died about 14 years before, and there was a 20-year younger second wife that was very quickly in the picture. And by this point in time, she was actually controlling everything in grandfather's life. He was now 94 years of age. So like a lot of you who are advising elderly clients, he'd become very fragile. And he had actually become, through the 20-year younger wife, really disassociated and walled off from his family. So my client was the grandson. He was presented with a receipt and release agreement to say he was giving up his interest in all of these trusts. And when we looked into them again, marital trust, bypass trust, and this insurance trust. And what had happened in May of 2017 was the trustee of this insurance trust, because the 20-year younger wife was no longer allowing grandfather to make gifts to maintain this insurance, and we're going to talk about why those gifts were necessary, the trustee allowed $4.5 million of life insurance to lapse on a 94-year-old. That's a very bad result. There was $3 million worth of insurance left, and I didn't know what to do. So I called an insurance wholesaler, a guy who I knew well. We had some shared clients on some actually very, very large insurance matters. And he had become my go-to for all things life insurance. And I told him what happened. I said, $4.5 million lapsed. We've got $3 million left. And guess what? The premium is coming due in September, and it's $250,000. So what are we going to do? And what he told me was, well, with respect to the $3 million that's still in place, that's an asset that can be sold. And that was the first time that I ever understood that life insurance was an asset that could be sold. And then he said, with respect to the $4.5 million, we might be able to get the carrier to reinstate that. It's only been a month since it's lapsed. I've got a good relationship with the carrier, and maybe we can get that reinstated. He said, but don't hold your breath, because a lapse is a win for the insurance company, right? They got all the premium payments, and they don't have to pay a death benefit. And what the family ended up doing was actually selling that $3 million policy. And that was a very good transaction, I want you to know, for the family. The family actually, so my client was not a direct beneficiary. His mother, though, received half of the proceeds from the sale. And it was actually about $1.5 million, which I thought didn't sound very good, but that was before I understood a lot more about the life settlement market and how bad this contract was. And so it turned out to actually be some better pricing. My client's mother was offered $430,000 to give up her interest in three trusts. She ended up getting about $580,000 after paying fees on this transaction. Her brother was also a beneficiary of that insurance trust. So she got more than she was offered. And when her father died, which he did die, they used that insurance money to help originally hire attorneys because guess what? The second wife had stolen all of the assets.